Hello again, everyone, and welcome to the show. On behalf of Disciples City, I'm Todd Carlton, and this is the Toddcast. Friends, Disciples City exists to equip Christians with simple tools on how to share the gospel, and you can find out more about that at our website at disciplescity.ca. And if you've been listening, as you know, we are doing a cross-Canada evangelistic opportunity this year called the 100K Harvest. It started in April, and as of right now, if you're listening to this episode currently, we are at 10,600 people have heard the gospel across Canada so far, and 1 in 10 of those people have actually given their lives to the Lord. Check out our website at disciplescity.ca, the 100kharvest.ca for more information. Every day, more and more people are getting involved, more and more groups and churches are getting involved, and you can be part of this too and be encouraged. From Cornerbrook, Newfoundland to Nanaimo, BC, this is happening right now. Friends, don't forget to follow us along, subscribe, like, and subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to. Follow us on Instagram at the Toddcast underscore DAC. Follow us on YouTube, and you can check out our new website, too, at thetoddcast.ca. Well, friends, as we like to do, we love to showcase musical artists across the world, actually. And today, we have somebody from right here in Ontario, Canada. She is recently returned from the CMA Fest in Nashville, Tennessee. She started with an EP in 2022 called Where You Come From, has been releasing singles since then. She was nominated for Female Artist of the Year, Songwriter of the Year, and Video of the Year for the CMA Ontario Awards. And she will be performing at Boots and Hearts coming up this summer and in Penticton, BC, also in September. She is faith-led and country-bred. Please welcome Carly June.
Hey. Love it. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Thank you and welcome. And just a lot of great things are happening in your life. It's so exciting.
Yeah. It's been a bit of a whirlwind chasing the musical dream and just trying to do what I feel God has equipped me to do and to steward that well. And it's a lot of fun, a whole lot of challenges as doing whatever God has called you to do often is.
Yeah, no doubt. And really exciting to hear Canadian having an opportunity to perform in Nashville, and would love to hear about that. But can we just start at the beginning, how you grew up or where you grew up and what faith was like for you as a youngster?
Yeah. So I grew up on a dairy farm in a small town called Listowel, Ontario. I grew up in a Christian family. I grew up Presbyterian, so definitely more traditional upbringing. Went to church every Sunday. Definitely watched my dad as a farmer have to really rely on the Lord to provide the rain and the sunshine at the right times. And would often, my dad was pretty vocal about his faith, which was, you know, really helpful as a child to hear growing up and seeing that inspiration from my parents. Our church didn't have a huge youth group or anything like that. We had a little bit of a presence, but not huge. But a friend of mine that I went to school with, she went to a different youth group in town. And I would say at that youth group was definitely where I really encountered my own faith and just saw it in a little bit of a different way, being around other young people that were learning about God and what that meant to them. And I remember I went over to her house and I remember seeing a little sticky she had on her mirror and it had my name on it. And I asked her what it was. And she just said, "Oh, these are just different people I'm praying for and things that I pray for in my life." And I was like, wow, that's I've never, you know, encountered that kind of active prayer life. And a friend that was, I don't know, we had to be about 9 or 10 years old at the time. So that was really powerful. And went to some youth retreats, Pitch and Praise being one of them. I don't know if you know of Pitch and Praise. I think it still happens, a camping retreat for young people. And heard some really powerful speakers there. And I would say gave my life to Christ at Pitch and Praise. And Yeah, I felt called by God from the time I was about 9 years old into music, and didn't grow up in a musical family at all, like at all. but I felt that I felt the desire to get up and sing. I mean, I sang at church, and but never really felt called into Christian music. I always was really drawn to country music from my upbringing on the farm, and ended up, I was always kind of the girl in the town that was singing at, you know, the local fair or the pub or my grandma's Women's Institute events. I would sing anywhere. Ended up going to Wilfrid Laurier, where I did my Bachelor of Music degree, actually in classical music. That was a whole challenging thing of its own. After that, started playing in a country band that played at country bars and kind of played all over Ontario, just doing cover stuff, but always really wanted to write my own music. And so just started to really just chip at it away on my own and writing a lot on my own. And started releasing a little bit of music and would try to just meet as many people as I could through the industry, and ended up meeting my manager, Sam, kind of just through a networking event. I believe somebody else introduced us. And she was really the one that really helped me understand how to do this very professionally, and introduced me to a lot of other people that have helped me develop my sound, and producers and other writers that have been a really good fit. And get to go out and play and do what I love, which is really special. But through all of that, I think I've also learned that, I mean, it's amazing to chase your dreams, but that isn't the most fulfilling thing in life. The most fulfilling thing in life is serving God. And it's amazing to do what you love, but ultimately there's emptiness in that if God is not, isn't number one, because those dreams will never fulfill you the way that you really hope that they will and think that they will. Ultimately, God is the only one that can fill that space in our heart. So it's been really challenging at times to learn that lesson. I think when I was young, I thought, oh, you know, this is what I want to do, and this is going to make my life amazing and give me so much joy and purpose. And I've kind of along the journey learned that it doesn't give you the fulfillment that you hope for.
Amen. Yeah, for sure. Did you start? Well, first of all, interesting, as we were talking just before the show, you're from Listowel originally, mm-hmm. which is where the director of our ministry, Disciple of City, is from, but has since moved because you don't get as much snow. He really loves the winter and snow, right? So he's moved quite far up north to be closer to the snow. But anyway, did you start your band that you were talking about? Were you still in Listowel, or had you moved? Was that around university time? Or
yeah, I was living in Waterloo at the time, and I was playing sort of in a cover band with another young person that was the drummer. Everybody else was quite a lot older than us, and both of us, the drummer and I, were very serious and about music. And so we were like, hey, I was like, I think I can write some music. What if we go out and try to meet more people on our own? So we would literally go to country bars, and the bands that would be playing, we would wait until they were on their break and just go talk to them and just meet other musicians. And yeah, there was nothing glamorous about that. But we just, tried to meet as many people as we could. And I think that's a big part of the industry is meeting people and building relationships.
Well, connections, right? You never know who knows somebody else that can encourage or give you a break, help you along and stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Really, really special too, when you talked about that young friend of yours that had your name written down and prayed, right? It's one thing when, you know, oftentimes we say, hey, well, I'll pray for you or we'll be praying for you, but to actually, you know, catch somebody legit praying for you.
Yeah.
Is super special.
Yeah, I was just out for a walk this morning, and I was just thinking about that, like the power of all of those people that come alongside your journey since you were young or whatever time in your life. You meet somebody that has, I was just praying and saying, thank you, God, for those people. And I'm so grateful.
So after that, like you talked about those going to camp and stuff, as you grew and say started going to Waterloo, to university and stuff, did you how did that stretch your faith as you sort of come from a small town and, you know, you get into that whole university scene? Did you find some like-minded or faith people to hang out with? Or what was that like as you got, not that you were necessarily naive to what was going on in the world, but you know what I mean? How did that pan out for you in university and with your faith and seeing everything that goes on?
Yeah. I mean, I was around, like, even in high school, there was a lot of partying, and in a small town. I feel like that happens anywhere in high school, but in a small town, in a country town, definitely there was a lot of, yeah, partying and stuff. And I definitely
Bush parties, yeah, in the country.
Yeah. And in university too. So when I went to university, I'd already been, you know, exposed to a lot of that and was part of that myself, just being a young person. But I knew, like, that wasn't what I wanted to be or what I wanted for myself. And I think when you're in your late teens, early 20s, throughout your 20s, you're trying to figure out, like, you're trying different things and you're trying to figure it out and figure out who you are. And I feel like throughout my university years was a lot of just, yeah, seeing the emptiness of a lot of those things, of that kind of life, and learning the hard way about a lot of things. And, you know, I'm grateful for that part of the journey, because I think that's part of being young is trying to figure it out. And just seeing an emptiness in that kind of life was definitely real for me.
Witness, and when you started your band, you talked about doing covers, obviously, right? A lot of bands start out that way, getting experience and performing and stuff. Were the other people in your band, were they Christian too? Were you doing any Christian covers or just sort of mainstream stuff?
Yeah, no one was Christian. I was doing all country, a lot of party, like bar songs, essentially. But I knew that I always prayed and dreamed of having a Christian band. Never felt called into Christian music necessarily, but I do have a dream to release a gospel album eventually. But I felt like I could be, you know, part of sharing God's love in country music and just making friends, building relationships with people, which I think is ultimately what sharing your faith often looks like, is just having a coffee with somebody and chatting. And so I always felt that I could, yeah, build relationships in country music and get to know different types of people. But now my band is actually, a lot of them are Christians, which has just happened naturally. I feel like God has really brought me some great people to be around. So it's really cool because we get to go into these places where there's a lot of people that are not necessarily Christians, country music festivals and whatever venues we're playing, concert venues. And I always love that. I know that my band is going to treat people well. I know that they love to just bring joy to people and get to know people, the sound techs, everybody. So it's really cool to get to do that alongside of them. We always pray together before the show, and I'm really grateful. I feel God has really brought me some great people to work with.
Amen. Amen. When you first started to, like, when you first started to write your own music, were you writing? And so the reason I'm asking, I came to faith later in life. I've always been musical. I've not played in Nashville or done anything remotely close to what you're doing. Through my faith journey, I've seen, you know, mainstream music and then Christian music and then people who are Christians that just want to express their art and their music and don't want to be pigeonholed. And a lot of mainstream bands don't want to be pigeonholed into genres too, right? So When you first started to write and record your own music, where was your heart at there? Because obviously from a young age, there was a piece of the Lord working in you and wanting to express that or himself through you. But when you first started writing, can you share with us what that was like and what you were trying to get out?
Yeah. Well, when I first started writing, I was in high school. So I was writing about boys that I had crushes on and life. That was just real to me at that time. But I feel like as I've grown up in my faith, there's little snippets of my faith pretty much in most of my songs, I would say, without it being overly Christian sounding or but it's definitely in there. That's definitely something I talk about in the writing sessions a lot with the people that I'm writing with who might not even be Christians. It's just the importance of my faith in my life and how I always want my music to have a little bit of that flavor. And I think I want to do that even more of that just honesty. And I think all you can do as a writer is just write what's real to you. And my faith is a part of that. And my faith is just very part of, lifestyle. And so whatever is real to me at that season of my life is what I'm going to write about. So on my first record, Where You Come From, I feel like that's a really good all-encompassing. The idea of that record was all these different parts of your life that are where you come from, the place that you come from, the heartbreaks that you come from, the lessons that you've learned, the love, and it's all part of just making who you are. And so that EP was really, really super special to me. And there's certain songs on there. There's a song called The List that is definitely more, I would say, without using the words God and Jesus, a more faith-based song about how God ultimately knows what's best for us. And even though we might think that we want certain things to happen in life at certain times, or that ultimately his plans are the best, and you can always often look back and see his hand on things and how things have worked out as he's planned them to and with his purposes in mind. So it's really often inspired by faith without necessarily saying the words God and Jesus in my music.
Which I think is great too, right? Because you're just expressing who you are without being necessarily, again, sort of pigeonholed. And and when I first came to faith too, there were bands in music that I liked that weren't pigeonholed as Christian, and but it spoke to me because God was doing something in my heart. So I'm sure that that's happening right for you as well, like with your music.
I want people to be able to listen and to be able to have like a friend, I don't want it to be just Christians that want to listen to my music. I do have a lot of Christian fans, I would say, just naturally, like a lot of girls my age or women my age that, similar lifestyle, we connect in those ways, even through social media and such. Maybe they're a new mom as well or something. But I also want like non-Christians to listen to my music and for us to be able to have some sort of a connection that way, I think is important to me.
For sure. Let's see if this works here, a little sample. Here's a little sample of The List. Clearly from my background that rock and roll is my genre, but I've always, even in pre-faith days where you're super selfish and stuff, but I always can recognize the good music and talent. And this was your first, well, you've been writing music since you were younger, obviously, and playing, but like, this is really, 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 really good. And obviously with growing up in a house with not musical, like your family not musical, it's clear that these are God-given talents. Hey.
Oh, thanks. Thank you. I feel all glory to God. All glory to God, for sure.
But just everything, your voice, the music, it's really, really good.
I've been very grateful to get to work with a lot of really great songwriters that are much better than me at writing, that I'm always trying to learn from. And in country music, we do a lot of co-writing. So you'll have three people in a room together writing, and sometimes one person is sort of building a track, one person's more on the lyric side of things. And as the artist, you're often there to say, hey, this is my story, this is what I want to write about, this is what I want to say. Help me to do that the best that I possibly can. So God has brought me some amazing people that I've gotten to work with that I've just had to pinch myself to be in the room with.
So when you did this, because this was your very first release, and I know things are different nowadays, right? Because you can put your own stuff up on Spotify, but obviously it's well produced too. There's like, it sounds, the quality is so good. How did you get connected to release something so good as your sort of first thing?
Well, I have actually released a couple of singles just on my own before that are no longer up online. But this was my first, you know, bigger, like big for real project, let's say. And I had started working with a gentleman named Fraser Hill, who is an A&R. And an A&R is just somebody that is responsible on the label side of thing, working with artists on connecting them with the right songwriters and getting the right songs for the artist. It stands for artists and repertoire. So although I'm not signed to a label, I am completely independent. I did bring on an A&R who works with independent artists to help me start working with the right people, just kind of get into rooms that I couldn't get into on my own necessarily, build the relationships. And so I was introduced to Fraser by my manager, Sam, and he introduced me to Karen, who produced that EP. She was in Nashville, and a lot of it was actually done during the pandemic. So we had started it before the pandemic, and then the pandemic happened. And so I actually ended up doing a lot of vocals in my apartment in Waterloo. So it wasn't the glamorous Nashville experience that I was hoping for. But it's amazing what you can pull off with technology.
Yeah. Yeah. And still record stuff, even though we were all cooped up.
Yes. Yes. But since then, have got to kind of redeem the whole dream that I had of the Nashville, big Nashville record. And I guess it was already 2 years ago, because it was pre-having my daughter. But I got to go to Nashville and work with Derek Rattan, who is a friend of my manager's since she was just starting her career. And Derek was my dream songwriter to work with. Like, honestly, prayed a prayer years ago that I would get to work with him one day, and I never thought it would happen. But God brought us together through just people knowing people, and wrote my most previous releases and the music that I have coming out soon. I did with Derek in Nashville, and we had Carrie Underwood's band play on all of the songs, and it was just a dream come true. So my song that I previous two songs that I just previously no I've released one song from that project, Still Make Cowgirls, that I did with Derek, and I have a new song coming out next month called Man Like Mine that I did with Derek as well in that crew. So yeah, got to have that whole Nashville band in the studio experience.
That's really great. Have you ever had or felt the Lord really speaking to you, like, I don't know, in a dream or whatever, or just really speaking to you to say something specific in a song, or really give you like some strong direction?
Yeah, I have. Sometimes it's not really clear until I get into the room with somebody too. Once, like, I might have I'll often just go for a walk, maybe the night before a session, and I'll just, yeah, spend time in quiet. And often God puts ideas on my heart. They're not always big, deep songs. Sometimes it's a fun song that we're going to write that I feel I try to rely on God for all of the inspiration for my music, because you need fun songs too. but I think a really cool thing that happened was, so a few years ago, I lost my mom to cancer, a really, really quick and harsh battle that she fought. And I was really close with my mom, and my parents were very much, had a great relationship that I looked up to for many years. And I really wanted to write a song that honored their relationship and about watching and learning from them. And I had written down this title called Watching Them Dance. And I feel that, you know, the Lord kind of helped me come up with that idea. And I brought it into a session, and I was in Nashville that week, and all my other sessions got canceled. Literally every songwriter that I was supposed to write with that week canceled on me, which sucked when you travel down there and spend all the money for the trip. But I had one session that didn't cancel, and it was with Derek, the writer that I had always dreamed of getting to write with. And I went into the session. I was kind of feeling down because that was the year I had lost my mom just a few months earlier. And that trip, everything was not going as planned. And I just said, you know, I really want to write about my parents. And I shared what had happened to my mom. And he got kind of quiet for a minute. And he said, I have to tell you that what happened to your mom actually happened to my dad as well. And so we just kind of bonded over losing parents young in life. And it was really, yeah, really special to just get to write that song together and to share grief together and to get to kind of have some healing through writing this song and bring honor to our parents. Yeah, so there's been some cool, some really special moments like that.
It's, yeah, first of all, sorry to hear that. That's, it's never good to, you know what, it's never good to lose somebody close in your family, regardless of how old they are, where you are in life.
Yeah. No, it's not easy.
I lost my grandma, last year, and although she was super old, she was in her 90s, but it's just funny how it doesn't really make it any easier. But anyway, sorry to hear about that. Yeah. But amazing how God not only gives you comfort, but lines things up. Like just as you're saying that, oh, this person canceled. 'Cause you know, that was a time for you to write with Derek and just help heal. Hey.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I feel like God always brings you the people that you need. And through the journey of grief that I've gone through, he's brought me a lot of people that have also gone through similar things, which is always helpful to know that I'm not alone and that there's other people that have gotten to the other side of this journey. And that's always encouraging. And just somebody, sometimes you just need somebody that understands. And that was really special just to get to be in a room with somebody and musically connect that idea. I mean, I've always been healed through the power of music. It has been powerful in my life. And yeah, it's just a really special, special day. And getting to share that story now, I often share that story when I play songwriters rounds and things like that. And I've had so many people have come up to me and have really, that song's actually not out yet. It's coming out in the fall, but so many people specifically with that song that I feel God was really, really part of have said, wow, like I really, really connected with that.
Okay. Well, that was my next question. 'Cause I'm looking and looking and looking and trying to find it to play it.
It's not out yet. It's, I've been sitting on it for a couple of years, but we just slowly released single by single, and I had a baby last November, and so we kind of needed to spread out the songs a little bit more to be able to keep the momentum rolling, because I haven't been able to produce as quickly.
Yeah, congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank you. Thanks. It's been such a blessing.
And something that is you're have a lot of little demo clips on Instagram. So friends, here is one of what you actually just mentioned just a little while ago. Good little.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, little clips and little demos. It's good. It's good.
Yeah.
Speaking of your daughter, and again, congratulations on that. Because kids are the best thing going.
And they are.
And really changed my life. So, what was that experience like for you?
Oh well, my husband and I got married in 2021. And I was really, really hesitant to have kids with, I knew I was wanted kids eventually, but it was always like, oh, I don't know if it's the right time and what's going to happen with my career as soon as we have kids. And so finally we just got to the point where like, well, we just got to do it because we just got to rip off the Band-Aid and go for it. But I wish I had have done it sooner, because it's been such an amazing, amazing chapter, and being a mom has brought out this different part of me, and it's challenging in new ways, but it's so much fun, and to get to just have different purpose in each day of getting to raise her up to hopefully love God and to know she's so loved by God is especially from the time they're a little baby, and there's going to be all these different seasons we're going to go through together. But I'm excited for all of them and just trying to soak it all in, because the days are long, but the months go by quickly.
Oh, they do. They do. Yeah. I can tell you that for sure. I have a daughter too. I have three kids, and I have a daughter too. And I saw a picture with you and your husband holding your daughter, and you know, it just brings back memories of holding my daughter almost in one hand.
Yeah.
And now she's 17 and wants my truck keys.
Yeah, that's great.
So it just goes by. But it's all good. Like you said, all the seasons are so good.
Oh, all the seasons. Yeah. And we're more, I would say, private people. I don't want to like push the spotlight or anything on her. So I don't share a ton about her online, but I try to just be like honest about motherhood and share little snippets when I can. But yeah, we're also like kind of private about our family and such too, is just to protect her. But she's the best, and motherhood is so amazing.
Well, it's good.
I have new respect for every mom out there and for my own mom, because it is the hardest thing.
Yeah. And you know what? It's good to be private too. And you should probably hang on to that, because listening to this stuff, you're going to blow up.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's a different world, the music industry now, with TikTok and algorithms. And you're always fighting against that. But ultimately, I can have a peace in all of it, because I know that ultimately it's in God's hand, and whatever he has planned for my life is the best thing. And all I really want is to just go where he wants me to go and to live my life for him and him alone. And I can't lose if that's the journey.
Yeah. Hey, how about CMA Fest in Nashville? First of all, obviously it wasn't your first time, because you'd been going down there and writing with people and whatnot. But first of all, can you just share? Well, we have people listening all over the world, praise the Lord, to our little show here. But can you just say what CMA Fest is down in Nashville, Tennessee, and what that experience was like for you recently?
Yes. So CMA Fest is through the Country Music Association that exists in Nashville, but it brings in country music artists from all over the world. And they have a week-long festival where all over Nashville, there's different stages. Some of the stuff is free. Some of it you have to buy a ticket to it. But the biggest artists in country music play it, and a lot of up-and-coming country artists play it. And so this past year, I was not expecting at all to be playing this music festival, but we had applied for the opportunity through the CMA. And my manager got an email probably a month before the show, and they offered me a slot on their one of their emerging artist stages. And so I couldn't turn it down. My daughter was not that old at the time, but I said, let's do it. So I packed up my whole family and we went, and I got to play for about half an hour. It was just an acoustic set that I got to play, but it is a has a long, really rich history, this music festival. Dolly Parton has played it. Shania Twain has played it. Everybody has played it. And so it's always amazing to be part of something with such a rich history in country music. It's been going on for a really long time. So they even came backstage before my set and they presented me with this beautiful little pin that said my first CMA Fest, which was really cool. And they make the whole experience really, really special. And lots of fans from all over the world come to it. It was really special.
It's interesting being down there too. As I was saying to you, I'd just been down there for a baseball tournament with one of my kids, but just being down in Tennessee and very different from where we live, right? Just with, it's the Bible Belt, right? So just seeing faith stuff, billboards and mm-hmm. different things and having conversations, and people are super open and all that in and amongst all that goes on. down there in that area that that's really quite something though to get selected for that, because you know I'm not experienced in Nashville, but just being down there recently briefly, even in the at lunchtime down in that on Broadway, all of those bands are incredible.
Yeah,
so that's you know, that's quite a nod for you.
Thanks. It was a huge blessing. That's for sure. It's funny, in the music industry, we often, like in interviews like this, we talk about all of the big things that have happened like this. But I feel like it's important to also mention that I get turned down for a lot of things as well. So it's for anybody listening that feels like, oh, it just happened so easily. She applied and she got in. Moments like that do happen. But there's so many other no's that happen, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of no's that we get all the time. So I really, really appreciate every person that has said yes or has come alongside this journey with me. It really means so, so much.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a battle, right? Especially now where there's just so many artists recording and a lot of material out there.
There is. Yeah, there is.
But like you were saying, you know, you just, when you're chasing a dream, there's an emptiness in your heart. But when you're wanting to serve the Lord with the gift that he's given you, the Lord will create these opportunities. Right. Yeah. And I almost feel like, and maybe you do too, of creating these opportunities that will suit you best with the gifts that he's given you with your family and all that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think sometimes when God, and I've really been learning this recently, sometimes God puts something on our heart. And I've been really guilty since the time I was young of thinking, okay, God has, you know, given me this musical gift and given me this dream to sing and be on stages. And that must mean that he wants me to be the next Taylor Swift and I'm going to be famous and it's going to be this big thing. But I'm learning that gift and that dream can look so many different ways. And I'm just trying to be faithful with whatever he gives me, whether it's a stage where I'm playing for 10 people or one person, or, you know, singing in church on a Sunday, or going to CMA Fest and playing that festival. We never know what size it's going to be. And that really doesn't matter. I'm grateful to get to share music, and I pray that it brings people joy, and I pray that people will get a glimpse of God's love for them through that. And whatever size that grows to be, it doesn't really matter. All I really care about is one day standing before God and just saying, him saying, well done, good and faithful servant. That is trying to live for the audience of one.
Amen. Yeah. And you know what? It's a gift at this level too, right? Because you can interact with people that people listening to your material that it touches their hearts can actually maybe have a chat with you. You get so big like some of these people and you can't get anywhere near them, right?
Yeah.
At all. And then there's crazy stuff that happens. So that's really good.
That's so true.
Boots and Hearts. Boots and Hearts coming up. Had you been to a Boots and Hearts before, prior to this? Have you attended them when they were out in Clarington back in the day?
I never went to that location, but I have been to Boots and Hearts twice. The first time I was actually in the Emerging Artist Showcase, which is a competition that they do for new artists. I was selected for that. I don't remember what year it was, but it had to be probably maybe around 2015, I'm thinking, or 2016. So quite a few years ago now, almost 10 years ago. Or I guess that is 10 years ago if it was 2015. So I was in that. And then the year before that, I had went to the music festival with a friend of mine. So I had been just as a fan and then got to be part of the Emerging Artist Showcase. And now, a very slow 10 years later, finally got in the lineup. So I'm really grateful for it and excited. It's going to be a fun day. I just want to celebrate it and just want to soak it in, because sometimes you pray for something for a really long time and then it comes and you're already thinking, okay, what's next? But I just want to be present and just enjoy it.
Yeah. Fun fact. We've had Shannon McNeven on the show. So one of the co-founders of Boots and Hearts originally.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Fun fact number two, I also attended two of the events that were actually when they were in Clarington at Mossport there. Cool. Driving golf carts around, doing fun stuff, right? Shuttling people from that crazy big site from the parking lot to the stage and whatnot. So,
yeah,
good time. So you, Carly will be playing Friends on Saturday, August 9th. The Boots and Hearts Festival is August 7th to the 10th this year, 2025, if you're listening currently, and performing Saturday, August 9th. So go and check that out.
Yes, come hang out. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Also, you're heading out to Penticton. Love BC. Have you been to BC before?
I have, but I've never been to this part of BC, so I'm really, really looking forward to that.
Love BC. So nice. My sister-in-law lives out there. So this event that you're going to, September 9th, is called Songs and Stories. Mm-hmm. And it's all Canadian artists, right? The four of you that are performing there?
Yes, it is a songwriter's show. So there's, I believe, four songwriters that are playing it. We'll all be on stage together talking about our songs one at a time and then playing them acoustically. And you come and you have dinner. And I believe it's sort of a winery setting out with a beautiful countryside. So you come, your ticket includes dinner and the songwriting show, where you get a really behind the scenes, some stories about the songs and hearing us talk about writing them. So those are always some of my favorite styles of shows to play.
Very good. Very good. Yeah. And hey, let's hear another little track. This is always going to be, this is right now, this is a newer release, right? Your latest? Would this be your latest?
Yes, this is my latest until August 8th.
And looking at it, looks like it's your most streamed song currently too, which is awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's the numbers, every release, they just keep beating the next one typically, which is a nice path to be on.
It's a great path. Here's a little sample of the newest release, Always Gonna Be.
Like a Sunday church in the good book, back home boys bait in a bass hook. You and me are like a diamond shining forever.
Oh, I'm getting the 501 reference.
yeah, a little. We're always trying to find unique ways of saying a lot. In country music, there's a lot of things that have already been said. So you're always trying to find little unique ways of saying them.
Yeah. What's your heart behind this song, Carly?
So it's a love song, ultimately. The hook is, as long as you're on my left, I got heaven right next to me. And that's how it's always going to be. So it is a love song. But it's also just talking about my upbringing in the country and how in the country, there's a lot of things that are always going to be around. So it's kind of connecting those two ideas of a love that's going to last and the lasting country lifestyle. And that's one of my favorite things about the country is I can always know I'm going to go back to where I grew up. My dad is still on the farm that I grew up on, and I love just going back there. And, you know, I know that there's always going to be a combine in the cornfield in the fall.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Carly, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today and your music. Again, friends, Boots and Hearts, August 7th to 10th. Check it out. Songs and Stories, if you're in the BC area, for all our friends and fans in the BC area, Penticton, BC, you can check that out. You can follow Carly along on Instagram. It's Carly June. We'll have those links in at the bottom in the description. Carly, what's... What's next for you? What's next for you musically in the coming months?
Yeah.
Outside of what we've obviously just discussed.
yeah. I have a new song that I've just started teasing it a little bit on my Instagram called Man Like Mine. That is one of my favorite songs. It's about my amazing husband and just a good godly man. And it's coming out August 8th. So the day before Boots and Hearts. So really excited about this one. There's so many songs that, especially in country music, that kind of hate on men. And I wanted to write a song that just uplifted good men. And the song is that. And so I'm really excited about it.
Well, as a man, thank you.
A lot of men have said that to me. Thank you.
Yeah, that's so good. Mm. Carly, just one more question for you. As you're raising a daughter and you know that, you know, music, you've always known from a young age that music was something that you wanted to do. And you talked about during our time here that if you pursued it one way, there was an emptiness until you were serving God in the gift that he's given you. Mm. So as your daughter comes to age and she realizes her gift or whatever it is that she's going to do, what advice would you give her to help her to continue to pursue the Lord?
Hmm. That's a big question. lay it down at his feet and pray that your heart would align with God's, and that I pray for her that she would have humility and just a heart that desires to serve God. But I think prayer is just so important to just use discernment and trust that if you're praying about it, that God will work through it and that he will sustain you and provide opportunities for you to use that for his glory. But also know that whatever he calls you to is often not the easy or the comfortable thing. And I hope that she sees the example of my journey and that, it certainly has not been easy or comfortable. And there's been a lot of times I've just wanted to abandon ship and do something easier. but that God provides in amazing ways and is glorified through that. So I just hope she sees my example and hope I can continue to set a good example for her and just pray for her every day.
Thank you so much, Carly.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been such an honor.
Bless you, my friend.
Yes, bless you too. Yes, take care and hopefully see everybody at Boots and Hearts.
Amen. Friends, show Carly some love. Check it out on Spotify. We'll have all the links in the description below, wherever you're looking, YouTube or online. And lay it down, friends. Ultimately, that's what the Lord wants. He wants us to lay it down for Him. He's pursuing you. And there will be an emptiness if you're not really giving yourself to Him. Great word from Carly today. Be blessed, friends. We'll see you next week.